Preds win last night 3-2 over the St. Louis Blues. We'll get back into that coming up in just a few minutes as the remarkable and bizarre journey of Kyle Turris continues. But a 3-2 win last night in overtime in shootout fashion gives the Preds two more points. College football playoff rankings coming up tonight as well, so we'll get back into that. Stick to sports this hour. Derek Mason, Braden Gall here on Morning Drive. And John Michael Vincent covering the Indianapolis Colts from 1070 The Fan up there in Indianapolis joining us here on the show. John, first of all, thank you for giving us a few minutes of your time. Number one question for me is, how did Chris Ballard convince Jacoby Brissett to sign that contract?
Well, I'm not sure. I think that's what Jacoby wanted to do. I mean, Jacoby's the one that makes his own decisions out of that. So that was one thing. I think what people are questioning more than anything else around here right now, and this is just coming off of the past couple of weeks, and especially on that Thursday night game down in Houston, is whether or not Jacoby is worthy of being, you know, the quarterback that can take this team to the next level. And there weren't too many questions in that earlier this year. I think everybody thought that maybe they were on this kind of upward climb, you know, climbing the staircase. And then all of a sudden they hit the month of November, started out 5-2, I think 1-3 since then. And it has been a struggle. And now all the questions are around whether or not Jacoby Brissett is and should be that guy for the future. Is he a game manager? Can he get you there? Can you play well? But can he take you into the postseason where you win some games? As of last weekend, all that's kind of up for open debate, I think, right now around here.
Yeah, and understandable, but you got to also, you know, look at the fact that, you know, he's had some key players injured. His tight end just went on IR. His receiver has been in and out of the lineup. The running back situation, and then him himself, he's been injured. But you know, they've managed to, and granted, they've lost some games. They're, like you said, they're 1-2, 1-3 in the month of November, but they kept themselves in the hunt, not only to make the playoffs, but actually, you know, win the division. In regards to their injury situation, are they closer? Because everyone's trying to figure out, is Marlon Mack going to play? Will he be available for this upcoming week? And how does T.Y. Hilton look?
No, Marlon Mack will not be available. I would expect T.Y. Hilton to be not just good to go, but to be on fire coming off of that disappointment that was Thursday night. I mean, he's a guy that's just got way too much talent and way too much pride having to sit with that game, those two drops in that game that were pivotal. So for over a week is probably tough. I expect him to be really good. Marlon Mack is not going to play. And, yeah, injuries are certainly an issue right now. We'll see if they end up – they have a space on the 53-man, and we'll see if Devin Funchess actually makes a return right now. You make a great point as far as, you know, the personnel and the injuries and all that. Here's the other thing I want to add, and I don't know if you guys pay enough attention to the Colts on a weekly basis to notice, but it still kind of seems like, and it seemed like to me in Houston it was the same, whereas I think that Frank and Nick Sirianni have done a great job in helping Jacoby Brissett kind of make that climb, get acclimated to the starting role. It still kind of seemed like on Thursday night that he had the restraints on him a little bit. I know Frank said after the game that he wishes he would have tried maybe three or four more chunk plays with Jacoby. You would think that those training wheels offensively would be off right now, but honestly, it kind of looked like with the way that they utilized the running game, even without Marlon Mack, and the way that they approached Jacoby Brissett and that their unwillingness to really throw it down the field or want to throw it down the field, it seems like week number one when he was getting acclimated against the Chargers. So I kind of put it on that coaching staff, too, to where I think they were really good in helping him along and keeping him away from making mistakes. Well, I thought it was detrimental in that game on Thursday night where they just kind of still had him in early season mode and really didn't do too much outside of playing 1970s football. It was really, really weird right now, too, with that regard as far as how they're handling the offense.
Talking the Indianapolis Colts here with John Michael Vincent of 1070 The Fan in Indianapolis. And how do you attack this defense? We know Darius Leonard's pretty salty. We know that Chris Ballard's rebuilt the defensive line, and I know he went heavy after secondary personnel in the offseason. It still feels like you can attack this defense. I know Nuke Hopkins found a lot of space last Thursday night, but he's a special, special player. How would you attack the Colts defense?
I would run at him to start, loosen him up, see if they can get after your quarterback, and then I would throw it. And the one thing that you guys have watched is Ryan Tannehill has had success. You know, last year for the Dolphins, he had success. I mean, not huge numbers offensively against the Colts, but had success throwing the football. So I think that is a major change that we're going to see. And I think you can attack them running. I think you can attack them once you start running through the air. And you can frustrate Leonard. It's funny watching him play. He plays incredibly hard. He's given the name the Maniac for good reason. But he gets frustrated when he's not the first one to the ball or when he is not a part of it. And we saw that early season. He's been getting better recently. But, I mean, you hammer at him, and then you loosen him up, and you can get downfield. You can get downfield. I think any quarterback can get downfield on him. So their defense has been playing better, but those are a couple of ways I think you loosen them up and really go after him, especially a game that both sides need and a game that's going to be played at Lucas Oil Stadium on Sunday. That's what I would expect.
We'll talk with John Michael Vincent, 1070 The Fan there in Indy. What is the – because the obviously the Indianapolis Colts have owned this sort of meeting, this rivalry sort of, at least in recent years. What is the talk about the Tennessee Titans heading into this week? Because they are a hot team right now with Ryan Tannehill as a quarterback. But that still doesn't take away the fact that, you know, they hadn't beat this Indianapolis Colts team consistently.
Yeah, I think people talked about it being due. I mean, if you're talking about it in the negative light around here, mm-hmm. people are saying it's due. I mean, people have noticed, obviously, the way that Tennessee has played recently, much like, you know, even the loss last weekend, people have noticed how Carolina, who's still on the schedule, has been playing recently. It's funny how you kind of look at the schedule and then you say, well, this game's easy, this game's hard. And now the rest of the way, where games are at a premium for both teams, and especially the Colts, games are at a premium, this schedule looks much tougher than it did maybe a month or a month and a half or so ago. But the impression is that maybe with the quarterback situation down there, the Tennessee's found the groove. And found the groove at a good time for them and a bad time for the Colts, because they've been discombobulated. I mean, they've been discombobulated. They had the most embarrassing loss on the schedule, anybody's schedule this year, at home against Miami. And they really haven't played, other than that Jacksonville game, well since you go all the way back to Kansas City and Houston. They're trying to find a groove of their own right now, and essentially it looks like that's what Tennessee has found. So I think that makes, you know, this matchup and this battle on Sunday even more interesting, because you've got a team still trying to find itself in late November, and a team that I think seemingly you guys know better than I that has kind of found itself right now. So we'll see which way it goes.
I can I tell you after Sunday what direction? Because I mean,
well,
if,
you know what? And you're so right. You're so right. I mean, it's such a weekly evaluational thing. Yeah. I mean, it is. I mean, after the Jacksonville game, everybody was high. Everybody was in, and then that Houston game just kind of sunk them. But they go through that stretch of survival against Denver, and then Pittsburgh disappointment. And then I said this yesterday. You could write a really good book about what's transpired around here in the past 8 months, and we don't know it all. Like, I'll give you a great example. What in the world's going on with Eric Ebron? Eric Ebron looked fine after the game on Thursday night. He didn't want to talk to anybody, but he looked fine. And then you fast forward 4 or 5 days. I don't want to call out anybody's toughness or anything like that, and I know that if you're sick of dealing with it, you go ahead and bail, and if it's a business decision, it's a business decision. But I think there's a huge storyline behind the fact that he was placed on IR yesterday. And Frank Reich didn't say as much, but even in answering the question about him, did not seem too happy. So there's some weirdness going on. I don't know if it's frustration of a season that could have been, if you get some kicks, if you play better against bad teams or what, but there's some frustration floating around here.
How do the fans view Andrew Luck right now, today, after 11 weeks of football? Has it changed at all, or are they still, like, how do they feel?
No, I would say this. I think it's split down the middle. I think there are still people that say, hey, you know what? You're a football player. It's your life. Do whatever you want. But there's still a lot, and I completely agree with them, that say, hey, if you're going to make that business decision, you make that business decision in March. You don't make that business decision 2 weeks before the start of the season. And with that in mind, I don't think that is ever going to be wiped away. I'll give you a great example. We have this Ring of Honor thing here at Lucas Oil Stadium. People have been talking about, so is Andrew Luck going to go in it? One of these days he will, but it's not going to be in the foreseeable future. I mean, this wound is going to take a while because even he's doing what he wants to do and whatever. As a quarterback, especially a franchise quarterback, you got to do that in March. You can't do that right before the start of the season. And that kind of hosed everything at the beginning. And without a franchise elite-level quarterback, you have kind of seen with this team a ceiling. And I think we've kind of approached that ceiling in the past month.
There you have it. Behind enemy lines, John Michael Vincent, covering the Colts for 1070 The Fan in Indianapolis. Thank you so much, my man. Go hang out with a drunk kicker in Broad Ripple for me, all right?
I love Nashville, fellas. Take it easy. Thanks.
All right, man. John Michael Vincent there.
Yeah.
Some interesting commentary about the state of affairs behind the scenes with Frank Reich and the coaching staff. So we'll get to a little bit of that when we return. And listen, as we joke about Ryan Tannehill, of course, it's like if we don't know if any of this is for real with Ryan Tannehill. And we'll discuss more of this after the break. But if he does one thing, we sort of end the conversation altogether. So we'll get to that when we return. But let me tell you guys about the internet, because I know you need to have it. You got to have it. You got to have it to function. You got to have it to do your job, to have fun. All the relaxation we do at the house, you need to have the internet. Otherwise, how are you going to get all those likes? How are you going to binge watch BoJack Horseman? That's my new jam. Check out BoJack Horseman on Netflix. This is where the Xfinity XFi app makes your life simple, easy, and awesome. The XFi app gives you complete control and security for your home and your internet network right in the palm of your hand. You can get alerts when foreign devices you don't recognize are trying to access your network. And you just pop on the app right there. You go, oh, hang on. Who's this Derek Mason iPhone trying to access my network? Pause that bad boy. I don't want that device on my network at all. I don't trust that guy. Manage which devices are active. So you could play a practical joke on your wife while she's watching, you know, the Kardashians last night and pause her TV. I don't recommend that. It didn't exactly go over well, even though I thought it was hilarious. But you know what else you can do? If the kids won't put down their phones and their tablets, you can just pause those bad boys with your Xfinity XFi app. Just a quick tap on that app. Just tap, tap, tap on that app. And boom, time for family dinner with no screens. Xfinity XFi and the XFi app are just a couple of the technological developments that Xfinity does and has done to make your life simple, easy, and awesome. You got mobile, you got home security, you got the X1 voice remote, all this great stuff. The XFi app is just another way that Xfinity makes your life manageable, secure, simple, easy, and awesome. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or pop into a store today for more details. What's going on with the Colts and Frank Reich, and can Ryan Tannehill cement himself in one game? We'll do that when we return right here on Morning Drive. Morning Drive, Derek Mason, Braden Gall. Can you be my hype man for me real fast? Derek?
Stay woke!
In that guy.
Uh-huh. All right, I need you to be my hype man for this, all right? It is the season for giving. And 102.5 The Game is in the spirit. Donations of toys, winter clothing, or school supplies will be accepted at the 102.5 The Game studio starting next Monday.
Monday.
The station address is 1824 Murfreesboro Pike in Nashville.
Nashville.
Donations will benefit our kids, which, of course, I'm proud to say will be our charity here on Monday.
Not your kids. But
no more hype, man. This is not working. <It's>
like, he not your kids, but he can't flow.
No, I can. I'm trying to do something real serious now, and
I'm hyping it up, man. Give it to our kids.
So I love that we're doing this. I'm really proud that we're doing this. I think it's an amazing thing that we get to do next week, and we really need your help, Nashville, of course, because you are an amazing city full of amazing people. And so each one of our shows will have a different charity that will benefit next week. You can come by and drop off toys during the morning show. That's, of course, the charity that I am on the board of at Our Kids. Our Kids Center is the website. Check it out, ourkidscenter.com. We help take care of sexually abused children all over 47 counties in the Middle Tennessee area. Darren and Donick and Chase are going to be taken care of. They want some clothing for the homeless, which obviously is another amazing cause. And Jared and the GM will be taking care of the Pencil Foundation, which is all about taking care of school supplies. So really, this is one of the things I think I am more proud of that we're doing around here. And so you can donate on Wednesday, December 4th at the Sudden Service Convenience Store located at 629 Nolensville Pike in Nashville between 6 and 10 a.m. Plus, we're going to be giving away a Nashville Predators Winter Classic jersey. Those things are sweet. For more information, visit thegamenashville.com or download, of course, and get that app up and running, the Game Nashville app. 102.5, the game's season of giving brought to you by Sudden Service Convenience Stores. And again, really proud that personally for me that our mm-hmm. kids is a part of this. So all next week, folks, we need you guys to we need toys, we need winter clothing, and we need school supplies. So depending on the time of the day, you know, any time of day you can bring any of those things by the station next week. And you know what, maybe we should get a competition going here where we can just make see if we can outdo Darren Donick and Chase and Jared and the GM.
I think we can. That's not even a contest.
Wow,
I love those guys.
Wow.
But it's not even a contest.
Shots fired.
I mean, it's not even a contest.
I mean, all the charities are amazing.
Why do lions concern themselves with, with sheep, man? Wow. Seriously.
Well, I hope we do a lot of good things for all these charities. I hope we are just a little bit better at it.
Absolutely. We are.
That's all. What is going on with Frank Reich? That is fascinating. The Eric Ebron situation for the Indianapolis Colts being placed on IR. It sounds like there's more to that story. Listen, this whole Colts saga, you and I both were in a big belief that Jacoby Brissett was mm-hmm. going to be a pretty good player this year, that don't sleep on the Colts. Don't just push them out the door because Andrew Luck is retired in a really weird place and spot and time. But now Marlon Mack is hurt. Now you've got Eric Ebron on IR. Now you've got a young defensive team with some pieces still falling into place. They're now 6-5. They've won some really good games, but they've lost some bad games. I don't know what to make of the direction of the Colts. And if Ryan Tannehill is really the 4-1 best rated quarterback in the NFL, like we're seeing statistically from Ryan Tannehill, which I don't think he is, but who cares? You mm-hmm. take it. If you go up to Indianapolis and win and do something that basically nobody else could do, I know Marcus beat Jacoby Brissett a couple of times, but mm-hmm. you haven't been able to beat Indianapolis. We've talked about it ad nauseum for what feels like a decade now. Mm-hmm. If Ryan Tannehill can do that, is he just going to ascend directly to the right hand of the Father? Like, is he just go like immediately to heaven after beating the Colts? Like, that is accomplishing something that we have not seen.
Yeah, it would be. Two things are in play here that can potentially happen. Obviously, the more important thing is if the Titans win, they keep themselves in the hunt. And now I think they are in front of Indianapolis for that last wild card spot. I know Indianapolis still would have a better division win, division record, but, Indy has – Titans play Houston twice the last 3 weeks. So if they can win those games, then they will have a leg up on Indy. And Indy, it seems like Indy is sort of in this flux right now. It's quietly, kind of going through their team and through the building. Everything is not peachy creamy. So that could affect how they play. They've lost some close games, man. They lost against the Chargers by 6. They lost against the Raiders by 7, I believe. And then the Steelers and Dolphins, there were close games. Steelers 2 points, Dolphins 4 points. And this past weekend, 3 points. They've lost some really close games. Now, you can say, well, part of it, at least these last few games, is because of the injury situation they're a part of, but it could be, what's going on internally, as we just heard, with this Indianapolis team that maybe is not getting out, if you're outside of that market. Here's the second thing, and I think it means more to the future of the Tennessee Titans. If the Titans do win this game,
of course Ryan Tannehill wins this game.
I think there will be many in the building that is sold on him being the guy, at least for the next 2 or 3 years.
All right, hold that, because I've already decided on that.
And I think he is at least for the next two.
Save it till after the break. Me, don't give it away, man. Don't give it away for free.
They got to pay for this.
You got to pay for that. Buy me a drink first. We'll get to that when we come back, because I've made my decision on that, and I don't think it's probably the same. Like, if you listen to the show and you know where I've stood on Marcus Mariota, you probably don't. You probably have no idea the direction I'm going to go with this when we come back. So I'll explain. See how you do that there? You know that works?
I do it from time to time.
Every now and then. Every now and then. All right, we'll be right back. Morning Drive. Is that not some Pink Floyd style psychedelic rock right there?
Man, that's talking to me. I don't know what it's saying, but it's talking to me.
See, that's Sturgill. It's
talking to me. Whatever it's saying, it's saying something.
You falsely accused other artists of being Sturgill in the past.
Yeah.
But this one
that was Sturgill.
That's the one that gets you right
there. Yeah, that one. It said something to me.
Get you
I don't
your,
know what it
sweet,
said. Yeah.
Sweet spot over there.
It says something like...
That's this first song. Yeah. There's not a single word in it.
It's not?
It's purely
this is all guitar?
It's
How long
first,
is the song?
It's the first song on the album, and there's not a single word.
How long is it?
I don't know. Probably like 3 minutes.
Gosh.
Hang on.
I don't know if I don't know if I can listen to that for 3 minutes.
Oh yeah, you can.
No, because I have a hard time with one of the Temptation songs. It goes before they even start saying anything.
Papa Was a Rolling Stone?
Yeah, Papa Was a Rolling Stone.
Yeah, that's
what it goes
what about,
for like,
that is the
goes like 2 minutes
that.
Before they say anything.
What about Heard It Through the Grapevine? That's like 9.5 minutes.
I know. I just can't. Man, these are iconic songs, but man, that's too long.
Hang on. I'm just going to pull it up right here on the phone here.
Let's How long see. Is it?
It says 3:47.
Good Lord.
But it's got a bunch of like sound effects in the beginning.
Oh, okay.
Because it's also the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
You got to watch the movie. I'm telling y'all. Netflix, Sound and Fury, Sturgill. If you like Japanese anime, which I've never liked in my entire life.
Yeah.
All right. Ryan Tannehill. Here's the deal. I don't want to pay Ryan Tannehill based on the best 5-game stretch of his career. Mm-hmm. I think that is absolutely the dumbest thing you can do.
You think that's irresponsible?
That's irresponsible for anyone in any walk of life. Mm-hmm. To pay someone based on the best small sample size that they've ever given you. That means you are paying for what you are not going to normally get, right? What you're going to get is
paying for hoped future earnings.
And the idea that Ryan Tannehill will maintain this level of play, the odds of Ryan Tannehill maintaining this level of play for a 4-year contract when he's aged 32, 33, 34, and 35 is probably slim to none.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that he is not your best option at quarterback for next year.
Mm-hmm.
Mariota's done. Let's remove him from the equation. Ryan, to me, I don't need to see anything else from Ryan Tannehill to say give him a chance to be the bridge deal.
Pay that man his money.
Pay him his money. He is, to me, the right bridge deal guy. I do not want to have a conversation. We can, and I know the Titans behind closed doors are going to have this conversation. I do not believe that Ryan Tannehill is the answer long-term for the Tennessee Titans. He is going to be 32 years old next July. You're talking about age 32 to 37 if you're going to give him a 5-year deal. What makes you think the guy that was more injured than Marcus Mariota throughout his career and won less games and produced less statistical information than Marcus, just by a small amount, but just a little bit less, what makes you think that all of a sudden he is going to be a significantly better player? I am pleasantly and happily surprised and dead wrong about how he has played. Remember on this show I said, I hope I'm wrong. I hope he's really good. I hope I'm wrong. And I was dead wrong. Ryan Tannehill has played the best 5-game stretch of his career. But you cannot pay him based on that. That is irresponsible general managing if you're John Robinson. So let's see what happens the next 4 or 5 games. But I'm comfortable right now signing Ryan Tannehill to a 2-year deal. I don't know how much money that's going to take.
That's not going to happen. A 2-year deal
is not
going to happen.
But that's what I would approve right now if I was in charge. I don't know if I can go to a 3rd year, and I don't know how much money you go to. I don't know what the dollar figure should be.
The 2-year deal is not going to happen. Ryan Tannehill is not going to sign a 2-year deal. And the Titans are not going to give him a 2-year deal.
Would he take a 1-year deal?
It's going, because they need him. They need him to be. I don't think the Titans are in a rush to, even if they draft a guy, to insert that guy into the lineup. Because I think in their mind, they made that mistake with Marcus.
But you, okay.
So I think they want to sort of kind of, they want to draft a guy and let him learn the NFL, learn the offense.
But then
unless he's that special guy, obviously.
Agree. So if he's special, fine, maybe you throw him out there. But I'm with you on letting him sit for a year. But you can't let him sit for 3 years. You can't sign Ryan Tannehill to a 3-year, $60 million deal or $70 million deal where you're going to have to give him $21, $22 million a year, whatever the number is, Nick Foles-ish type money. You can't give him 3 years worth of that money and then draft a guy to play? Well, because you can't have him sit for 3 years. That's not going to fly with the fan base.
Well, it's not necessarily, you know, sitting for 3 years. It's I'm trying to find, okay, on average. All right, it's even if you sign a three-year deal, you give him a lot of money up front that last year because you're thinking in your mind, well,
you can
at least
him.
By year three, you know, we can release him or he won't be making as much as a backup for us. So it's going to be a three-year deal for Ryan Tannehill at least. And looking at what these other quarterbacks are making, minus Russell Wilson, Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers, we're talking about Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. Even Jared Goff, who I think they overpaid for. Carson Wentz, who got a lot of money and didn't prove that he was worth that money. You're starting to see him come back down to just being a good quarterback. Matt Ryan, he had one great season. Kirk Cousins, we know how he's played. Jacoby Brissett, Jimmy Garoppolo, they paid him that money because they thought.
Turns out he's pretty good.
They were getting, and he's turned out to be, he's turned out to be a good quarterback amongst a really good team. He's doing exactly what they want him to
and
do.
And who knows what his upside is.
Absolutely.
I agree.
So when Ryan goes to the signing table and they start negotiating this contract, well, when he goes to the negotiation table and they start going back and forth, I think there are some that are already sold on Ryan Tannehill. I think there are some that, you know, want to see how he plays versus Indy. Even if the Titans lose and say Ryan Tannehill plays well, I think there are going to be some that are in that building that says, you know, he's the guy moving forward. He's the guy. We're good. He's the guy. And if that is indeed the case, then they are going to want to lock him up at least for two, with that third year being an option year.
See, now I could get behind an option.
They're going to give him at least 20-something million. That's the goal.
Look at Case Keenum.
Listen, as much as we probably don't like it.
Oh, it's terrible.
The going rate for a starting quarterback. Yeah. That's why you asked the question about Jacoby Brissett.
Dude.
How did that happen?
Chris Ballard's a genius.
Yeah, how did that happen? But here's the difference between Jacoby Brissett and Ryan Tannehill. Had Jacoby Brissett played like 4 or 5 games and then redid that deal after winning some games and playing well, that money would have been more. Ryan's in a unique situation where they have become a much better offense with him underneath center. And if they continue this, even if they lose to Indy and say they go 9-7 again, but they look different, the offense is averaging
already look different, but
then
can they maintain
he's going
it?
To, based upon the market, not what we think he should get.
Right. Well, sure.
The market says he's making $20 million plus.
Right.
Now, for whatever it's worth, I don't know.
No,
but
no.
That's what the market says.
He's probably a $17 million a year quarterback.
But he's going to make 22.
But the numbers are just not. They don't jive anymore. Like
Years ago,
makes
sense.
It doesn't make any sense. And so they're going to be like Teddy Bridgewater, Nick Foles, Case Keenum. They all make more than $20 million.
Exactly.
And none of these guys are that great. Teddy Bridgewater is probably the best of that group. Tannehill probably is better than those guys. Mm-hmm. And I'm fine with that. But Floyd's voice is in my head, and all the games I've watched of Ryan Tannehill are in my head, where I know what he is, and he literally, these are the like arguably the best 5 games he's ever played. They need a goal line stand to beat the Chargers, and I'm not trying to be negative Nancy here, but like, you needed a goal line stand to beat the Chargers. You got 2 turnovers inside the 10-yard line against the Bucks to win that game, and the Bucks still almost came back and won that game. You know, it's not like they've. You know, the Chiefs game was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
This past weekend against Jacksonville, that he was great, and they went, and he did not look good at all against the Panthers. So, like, these are the best 5-game stretch we've seen from Ryan Tannehill, arguably in his entire career.
Well, maybe.
You cannot pay for that because the odds of you getting that, this is like Mikael Granlund for the Preds going on like a 10-game goal-scoring streak where he's just on a tear, and David Poyle goes, you know what, we need to re-sign him. Let's give him a $5 million contract. And then he plays the rest of the season and gets like 5 goals.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all going, why did you pay for his best when you should pay for the middle of a player? Like, you shouldn't pay for a player's worst, and you shouldn't pay for a player's best. You should pay for
the average. He should have been a
$3
million guy instead of a 5.
Exactly. And so Tannehill, to me, I'm fine with Tannehill being the guy moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem with him being the guy. It needs to be short term. It cannot be a long-term answer. Mm-hmm. And I know that's a conversation they are trying to have right now at the Titans organization, but you will not convince me that age 35-year-old Ryan Tannehill is all of a sudden going to be some excellent quarterback that can win you a Super Bowl. I'm not. It's not a knock on Tannehill. Mm-hmm. It's just he kind of is what he is, and let's enjoy the ride while it's happening because he's playing great football right now, and he deserves the credit for what he's doing. But is it going to happen for 3 years? Can you give you 3 years of this? That feels unlikely.
How I approach this is like this, because I think moving forward, Marcus will go somewhere else, and Marcus will have some success because he needed a change of venue. He needed new coaches. He needed just somewhere he can go and kind of start over again.
Which may be why Ryan's playing well right now, frankly.
And I believe that's what Ryan needed, just a new place to go where, you know, GM head coach is willing to say, you know, all that stuff you did in the past, that's not us. We're starting from here. The minute you walk into this building, you are a new quarterback. I look at Alex Smith. Alex Smith struggled. We wondered whether, man, this is a bust. They drafted him first overall. It is a bust. You know what happened?
Then he gets benched in a Super Bowl run.
Exactly. Yeah. But you know what happened? But even with that, he was playing well until he got hurt.
Right.
He goes to Kansas City, and he has this resurgence.
Yep.
And it's not just 1 year. It's not just 2 years. It was 3 years. Every year he was in Kansas City, he got better. So much so that even they drafted Mahomes. And I can remember coming in here and saying, I guarantee you, he will have the best season.
He had the best season
he had ever. And it parlayed him into getting a big contract with Washington. Maybe that's the wrong place he went. He shouldn't have went to Washington.
Dude, Alex Smith left San Francisco. He went 11-4, 8-7, 11-5, 11-4, 9-6 at Kansas City in 5 years. That's a lot of wins, man.
Exactly. So I'm thinking to me, I'm looking at Ryan.
Bust.
Yeah, I'm looking at Ryan Tannehill, and I'm saying maybe, just maybe, this is him now. It wasn't him in Miami, but maybe, just maybe, this is him now. Okay. Just like I look at Marcus and say, if he goes to another team, i.e., New England, I'm pretty sure that's where they're aiming. That he goes there and he has some success, maybe, just maybe, he needed that change.
I think he absolutely did, because I think the Dolphins organization mishandled his injuries and mishandled the way he was sort of dealing with things down there. The same way I think the Titans somehow managed Marcus Mariota as well. So I'm concerned about that. Now it's different head coach and different power structure, different coordinator, different system, all that stuff. And listen, I am hopeful that I am dead wrong and that Ryan Tannehill can continue to play this way, because that means this team's going to be in interesting football games all summer
or
all winter. And I'm excited about the idea of them being in playoff games in December trying to fight for their playoff life because Ryan Tannehill has played good football. I was dead wrong about Ryan Tannehill being a guy that could change the offense, but it has happened. Mm-hmm. The question is, how much faith do you have on that over a longer period of time, over a larger set of data? Can you trust him for 48 games to do what he's done over 5 games? And that is a very difficult question to answer. No one has the answer to that. And even the diehard Ryan Tannehill supporters at the beginning of the year did not see this coming. No, I don't care who you are. If you loved Ryan Tannehill in the summer and you thought he should have been starting and you hated Marcus, that's fine. You turned out to be right. But you, even the most ardent supporters of Ryan Tannehill, did not see this coming. Nobody saw.
I don't think anybody. The highest
rated quarterback in the NFL as a starter? No one saw that coming. So don't tell me you did. Nobody did. But man, it sure has made for an interesting season.
Mm-hmm.
And it has changed the season. And it has definitely been the right decision for the Tennessee Titans. The question is, what do you get from him long term? 48 more games. 3-year contract would be 48 more games.
Mm-hmm.
Can you depend on what you've seen in 5? Extrapolated out over 48? I don't know. That's a tougher question to answer. That's why John Robinson's making big dollars, and we're just sitting here in a radio studio.
Talking about it.
Yep. Marquise Munson takes center stage when we come back. Stick to sports. Morning Drive. Morning Drive, Derek Mason, Braden Gall, and Marquise Munson. It is time to...
The world is a crazy place.
Crazy sounding pretty good right now.
Let's lighten the mood.
After all that seriousness, you're just going to crumple it up and throw it in the trash.
And stick to sports. Now on Morning Drive.
All right, folks. Stick to Sports is brought to you by Decorating Den Interior. Stick with the pros at Decorating Den. Men, when you're ready to decorate your home, if you're moving here,
you
I know
need
you
help,
are.
Man.
I know you're listening to the radio because you're just driving in and you need some help to decorate your house, then check out the good folks at Decorating Den because they will make your house look spectacular. And I'm telling you, everybody's going to want to come and visit your home because it looks so good. So go check out Bonnie, Decorating Den, Interiors. Request a complimentary appointment. That's free if you move in here. That's free. No other place do they have anything free other than here in Nashville. And Decorating Den, Bonnie, check her out. Go online, decoratingden.com.
Number one.
All right, so I'm looking on Twitter because Twitter is where I get all my news.
Oh, no.
Twitter is real life.
Because Twitter is real life.
Twitter is not real life.
I'm looking on trending topics, and the number one trending topic is Papa John's. So I had to wonder why. Why is Papa John's trending on Twitter? Do they have a new delivery service? I don't know. Did their pizza get better? I don't know.
No.
Whatever. But so the Papa John's guy is trending on Twitter because apparently he did an interview at a local news station in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And basically, if you don't know the whole backstory of what happened with, you know, good old Papa John, he was in a conference call saying some inappropriate things that mm-hmm. he wasn't supposed to say.
Yeah.
And you can Google those things that he said.
Didn't Peyton sell all of his stuff immediately?
Yeah.
Yeah, he took it to Brad Paisley. Now they're doing nationwide commercials together, and he's, you know, Papa John is sad now.
He's very good in those commercials.
Yeah, he is. He's better than the Papa John commercial. So this interview at this local station, he's sweating. He's talking about everything that happened at Papa John's. And he sounded very bizarre. So I'm going to play this audio clip from Mr. Papa John. And here's what he had to say.
I've had over 40 pizzas in the last 30 days. Livy currently and Mark Shapiro should be in jail. He has no pizza experience. He's never been in the pizza category. I would just say, stay tuned. The day of reckoning will come. The record will be straight.
Why not set the record straight now? I mean, what is it about the record that's not straight?
Stay tuned.
What is he doing?
I
don't know what's wrong with this guy.
So wait, so you said that Papa John, the guy, has eaten 30 pizzas?
No, he's eaten 40 pizzas in the last, like, 30 days.
How is he still alive?
Yeah.
This is like supersized me with pizza. I don't know.
Oh,
like, is there one food that you can eat for 30 straight days?
How can there be a day of reckoning?
Yes.
Well, because
on a pizza company.
So basically, and in this interview, he also talks about how the guy that he mentioned, Shapiro, it was the one that released and kind of fabricated those conference calls mm-hmm. to basically get him out of Papa John so they can take over his business.
Yeah, he's saying the board conspired against him.
So basically, everybody's thinking. So now he's like, "Yeah, I'm outing everybody. I'm putting cases on all you pizza people."
Yes, Denzel, I'm putting cases on all of you.
Shoot program.
Shoot program.
Pizza Hut, you'll be playing basketball in Guantanamo Bay. Or
well, it doesn't sound like he cares
Pelican
about
Bay.
It doesn't sound like he cares about pizza. It sounds like he cares about everybody at Papa John's. Is what he sounds
yeah,
like.
Yeah, he's outing everybody.
He sounds angry.
You
and,
don't know your pizza. Like I don't.
Like, what's wrong with this? I mean, I don't. But like,
to be a CEO of a massive conglomeration, you don't need to know anything about the actual product.
Not really.
Just letting y'all know.
No, you don't. My thing is, listen, with him. And your question was, can you eat one thing for 30 days? I don't know. I mean, I could, I guess, if it's healthy.
I might be able to eat pizza for 30 days.
But I couldn't eat pizza.
No, I
can eat wings because
it's
varies.
I couldn't eat pizza for 30 straight days. I couldn't.
You know, but pizza.
Well,
could,
if I had to, yes.
You could
but,
change the pizza, too.
If you're eating something that, like burgers don't, I mean, yeah, I guess burgers, you can put bacon on it. You cannot put bacon on it. You can put cheese on it or not. Obviously, it's a little
but
different.
You, know,
there's a lot of, you can do caramelized onions and Swiss mushroom.
Yeah.
You can, I mean, there's a lot of things you
but
can do to a
burger. But with wings, it's different because there's different sauces that you can try. It's boneless or,
no,
or bone
in. No, it's not a wing.
Yeah, it's not a wing.
I know
wing.
It's not, but just don't tell the wing conspiracists that it's not a wing.
No, there's no conspiracy.
It's a grown man chicken
If it has
nugget.
A bone in it, it's a chicken wing. If it doesn't, it's not. End of discussion.
It's just chicken.
It's just a chicken thing.
Just meat.
Chicken. A nugget. I don't know what it is. There's no such thing as a boneless wing. It doesn't exist.
You just take the chicken and...
The chicken from the sea.
Yeah. Where are you going?
Chicken from the sea.
I don't know where he was going.
Right, number two.
Number two.
Fascinated by this Papa John's guy, though.
I'm going to watch... I didn't get to watch
the full
interview, but he was sweating, and it just... He's always sweating.
I'm waiting for the documentary on Netflix. There'll be one.
Yeah, there will.
Absolutely.
So... since Thanksgiving's coming up, and obviously a lot of stories come from Thanksgiving, so do you guys have like a Thanksgiving story, like in the past, that one of your favorite Thanksgiving stories?
No, just that it's my favorite single day of the year. I think it is the best, greatest day, single day of the entire calendar year. Food, family, football, drinking, sign me up. Although I do a lot less of the final one there than I used to.
Well, since you guys don't have a story, guess what?
Derek didn't even say anything.
I mean, Thanksgiving is great. You know, I don't have any. I guess I mean Thanksgiving has always been one of those days where, you know, it's always been a good day for some reason.
I'll say this, other than
when my mom passed and then having the Thanksgiving right after, some months after that. I will say this.
I told my wife this yesterday. I just wish my favorite holiday came at the end of the holiday season. You know, so I had something to look forward to at the end of it. Because then you, like, you know, this is a tough, it's a stressful time for everybody, especially kids, family. There's a lot of obligations, you know, gifts, parties, all this stuff, the holiday season. I just wish Thanksgiving was the one at the end.
Oh, and not Christmas.
Instead of New Year's or Christmas and all this other stuff. My favorite one's at the beginning, and, you know, it's downhill after that for me.
Well, since you guys don't have a typical story, Mike Leach does have a story for you.
Oh, my goodness. I should have known.
So let's listen to one of Mike Leach's favorite Thanksgiving stories.
And then one time she got this product by one of those plastic companies. I don't know which one. You know, there's a number of them. You know, a bunch of plastic stuff that goes together. And at least to a lot of wives, it's irresistible. You know, it's like, you know, as soon as there's something plastic that belongs in the kitchen, which in my mind, few things could be more useless, okay? You know, so got to have it, right? So this thing's like some kind of a thing where you can mix for gravy. Like, you know, first of all, it's way too small. Okay, then you mix the potato water with the flour and the milk, and you're shaking it up. But as the hot air expands, the thing exploded, got all over my shirt. And one, I was ticked off. She handed me, no, here. So I want to do it how I always do it, right? No, here, use this. I bought this. This is really good. No, this will make it a lot easier. Well, it's not that hard to begin with, so it doesn't have to be a lot easier. No, use this. So I put it in there. I shake it up. The thing explodes, goes all over my shirt. I went to the patio door. I took that thing and rifled it into the neighbor's yard. And the last time I saw that thing, it exploded on the side of the neighbor's house. And then I never saw that thing again. And I'm glad I never saw it again. And I don't know what the neighbor did with it. He's kind of cold outside, and I thought that it was probably best I don't go talk to him and ask him about it. And maybe they could find some plastic thing and put it to good use.
You gotta love Mike.
If you throw something in my house, I'm come talk to you.
But he said it was too cold outside.
Yeah, it's too cold for him to go out there. I gotta love Mike Leach. He has a story for everything.
He's a gem.
A story for everything.
That was amazing. I just wanted to share that.
He is.
He said
he's the most interesting man in the world.
Yeah, he said. Yeah, use this. It makes it more easier.
But that's what,
baby. It's easy already. It don't need to be more easier.
And then he throws it at a neighbor's house.
If somebody hit a rocket.
My house with some Thanksgiving Day dinner or a thing that made the potatoes or whatever, man. I'm gonna go have a conversation with you and be like, "Excuse me, are you gonna come clean up my house, please?"
Could you imagine like Mike Leach being like a little kid? You know, when you throw something in somebody else's yard and it hits the window and you're like, "Oh my god!"
And he runs
in the house.
Do you think? When they interview like the news journalists, do you think before interviewing Mike Leach, they're all in the back room and they're all drawing hat straws to see who asks him that one question that gets an answer like that?
So I've worked with him.
Who's going to ask the Thanksgiving dinner question? Who's going to ask it?
I think it's a free for all. I think everybody man for themselves. You get up to that podium, and when he steps up, you better be ready. Like, we know Teresa Walker is going to ask the first question at every single press conference she's ever been in here in Nashville. That person, you better be ready with something good.
Man.
Because you only get a couple cracks.
I wish we had Mike Leach here.
I 100% agree. We do. Yeah. Marquise has brought him into Stick to Sports now like five times. So.
No,
like,
I bring him in every
question. Why don't we just pretend like Tuesday. Mike Leach coaches Arkansas?
Yeah, gosh. That would be wonderful.
It'll make Arkansas a lot more relevant.
You know what he would do, though, honestly? If we had him on the show and we started asking him about Arkansas, he would have something to say about it.
Of course.
he'd be like, well, can I talk about Washington State? Well, like, sure, but you also need to talk about Arkansas because we're pretending that you're in the SEC, and he would probably have a million things to say about
it. Oh, man, I would love it. Gosh.
He's the best.
Oh, yeah, Rakeem Boyd, he's a good player. Very round.
What else?
That's the only player I know. That's on that
he's
team.
Like, well, a Razorback would fight against a Tiger. I think the Tiger would win in the fight between the Razorback and the Tiger.
I don't
Tiger.
Know, but that elephant and the Crimson Tie, that elephant, I don't
no,
know.
No, do the Razorbacks have boars? Like, do they still have the teeth there, the tusks? Are they still, you know, are they in space? Are they in a swamp? What's the environment like, you know? He would go down a hole.
Yeah,
a
I don't know
hole.
About that Gamecock. That Gamecock's got a beak, and I don't know what that beak is dangerous.
They have very
about.
Sharp talons. The spurs on a Gamecock will tear you up, man. Don't mess with a Gamecock.
What is the worst mascot in the SEC?
Like, what do you mean, in a fight?
Yeah, I'm curious now.
I mean, in a fight, a Commodore is just going to, like, speak the king's English to you? I don't know. Like, he just runs a
but
ship, right? He's just the boss of a ship.
But doesn't he have, like, a sidearm?
Maybe.
Firearm, a musket or something?
But he's if it's a musket, he's losing automatically. He's got to charge that thing up.
Yeah, but we got a lot of bulldogs that don't can't run fast.
Exactly, absolutely.
A lot of bulldogs in the SEC. A lot of tigers and bulldogs. A volunteer is basically just he's basically just a guy fighting in the Texas Revolutionary War.
Yeah. Yeah,
basically.
Well, those are the first two to go.
Yeah.
No. I'll take a soldier.
The Commodore and the volunteer are the first two to go.
Well, maybe the Gamecock.
Now, if you're just a regular volunteer, maybe. Yeah. Like at a charity or something, you would lose.
But can you imagine?
But a Gamecock will not lose. Those they'll come at you with those spurs, man. Holy cow!
I'm gonna label a volunteer someone with a white shirt with a "Hi, my name is Brad" or "Hi, my name is Becky" or something. That's the volunteer that I'm gonna think of.
Becky's what you went with?
Yeah, I don't know. I just picked a woman, the first woman's name that came to mind.
There you go.
I would have gone with Felicia.
Yeah, man would have been. I don't know.
80.
Wildcat's going to win. Tiger's going to win. Crimson Tide is basically just the nickname came from just a wave of people all dressed the same and from the team looking like it
but
would cover
really
their
an
mud.
Elephant.
But it's really kind of an elephant, but not really. Elephant is, you can't mess with an elephant. A lion can't kill an elephant in the wild. Maybe a baby elephant, maybe a whole pack of lions or pride, if you will. I've watched a lot of Nat Geo in my days.
Well, if they build I would take a kelp. I mean, not a kelp, but I would take a salmon. Or something.
A salmon,
yeah. Or
what are you talking
or
about?
Something like that.
And turn his microphone.
And they would build this apparatus.
What are you talking about?
They would come on land. You ever seen the movie, what you call it?
I have no idea.
The movie when Will Ferrell was talking about the tuna. And he said they would build a kelp apparatus, and they would come
so
on land,
right,
and they would get your young.
If only we had somebody that knew everything about movies. We'll take a quick pause. We'll be right back. Kyle Turris, what is happening with the Preds? Big win, but Kyle Turris, what is going on? We'll be right back.